Welcome to the Church of Quell Creek podcast, a ministry of the Church of Quell Creek in Amarillo, Texas. Dive in with us as we open God's words and then stick around for a message from our pastor.
I don't typically sit often to preach, but occasionally I feel like there is subjects so rich and so deep that I want to be anchored and not move around a lot so that you and I can connect, and mostly because I'm tired. Our students, like you heard, are in Perryton today serving the church there. I'm asking that you pray for Perryton as they still rebuild, but my whole family is there. And I'm at the point now in my married life where I don't sleep when my wife isn't there. And so last night, I just played flip-flop all night long, like a politician. I didn't sleep well, so I drank an energy drink, which right before church service made me jittery, so I went and grabbed some water. But I say all that to say this. Wouldn't it be interesting in our walk with the Lord if when we didn't spend time with Him, physically we felt it? We felt our lack of spiritual rest. Instead of being like the world that just give or takes God, that when we didn't spend adequate time with Him, we physically felt it. It gave us the jitters. I believe we can walk like that. I really do. I believe you and I were created for a relationship with God that was meant to be felt. I think it's supposed to be that richly dense in our lives that when we don't spend time with God, we're a wreck. I believe that's the relationship that God intended for us. And so today, I want to just start with a thought. You may not know it or not, but you as a person are at war. You just may not know that you're winning or losing it yet. And my prayer is that by the time we leave here today, not only will you recognize it, you'll start to allow God to win those wars in your life. And I want you to know something. To win, you're going to have to lose. And that may sound ridiculous, but we'll get there. Did you know, and this is a statistic from 2011, so it's old now. According to statistics in 2011, there had been 14,553 known wars. 14,553 since 2011. Since 1945, there have been 70 wars and more than 200 significant outbreaks of violence. 2011. From 1958, over 100 nations have been involved in one way or another in armed conflict. In over 3,100 years of recorded world history, the world has been at peace 8% of the time, or a total of 286 years. In that time, there has been 8,000 treaties broken. That was 2011. Since then, maybe 1,000 more, maybe 4,000 more. Just imagine for a second, if our world has not been at peace, why? Do we hate peace? Let me just ask it this way. Church, today, are you burdened by the fact that all across the world we have men and women deployed for wars we're not a part of? Are we bothered by that? I am. When you know a soldier, and in particular on a day like today, where we think of veterans, it's a burden to us to think that we have loved ones all over the map who are valiantly defending freedom, just not ours. It's crazy, right? You know, Scripture talks that in the end days there's going to be not only wars, but rumors of wars. Seems to me like since recorded history, that's been the case. You see, we're a people that love war. We may not say it out loud, but we love war, and here's why. We love to win. So we're not afraid of war, we're just afraid of losing wars. You know, I'm thankful that I wasn't alive for this time in history. I think it's a deep bruising of American history. But when our boys and women went to Vietnam and the world changed, all of a sudden we saw wars in real time. And the men and women who hadn't even really signed up to go to war, who were taken into war, were told not to wear their army gear home in fear that Americans may take their lives. And they did. I think of that often because I believe too often in church world, we are told a lie that we believe, and it's this. You are at war, but you shouldn't talk about it. Because if you talk about it, the people in this room are gonna kill you. We'll have people in this room say things like, "Pastor, I'm addicted to pornography." And we'll say to that guy, "Shame on you, sir. You should get out of here." Or, "I'm contemplating an affair." "Shame on you, couple. Get out of here." Instead of, "Welcome home. I know you're at war, and we don't love war, but welcome home." Church is not a place for trophy carriers. Churches are a place for broken people to come home to. And how completely unpatriotic are we as Christians of our future home, that the wounded have no place here. Man, it's the thing that keeps me up at night. That broken people feel like at church, it's the one place they shouldn't be broken. Amen. Listen, I want you to hear this again. Just because there's a church building at 801 Tascosa Road, doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit lives here. When we gather in His name according to His purposes, He shows up. So why wouldn't you want to gather with other believers? You're at war, and you may not know it yet. But today I hope and pray that as we open the text, you'll begin to win. Because we don't mind war. We just don't want to lose it. Too often people come to church and they're losing battles because they're so afraid to say they're in it. Amen. Don't lose anymore. Amen. Be okay not being okay here. And when people go to you and they say, "Shame on you," run to Jesus. Amen. I've never heard Him say that. In fact, you know what I hear Him tell people in Scripture that are broken? "I forgive you. Amen. Go and sin no more." Because He's enough for you. He's enough for me. He's enough for you. I promise you that. Amen. Paul and I have, according to Scripture, the most unique titles. We are both the chief of sinners, and we both need Jesus desperately. So do you. In James chapter 4, if you want to open your Bibles there, in our Bible reading, and folks, please join us. It's not too late to start reading through the New Testament with us. You may go, "I'm too far behind." Don't care. Start today. In fact, here's where we're going this week. This week in our Bible reading, we're going to read 1 Peter chapters 4, 5, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2, and 3. If you opened your Bible and you went there, you would realize those are very short. And so don't be overwhelmed by it. Just join us today. In my Bible, if anybody wants to come and see it after church, I write in my Bible. It's a habit I learned from my mother. that when the Lord speaks something through a preacher or through just reading, I write and I underline. And so in my Bible, I've got underlines. And I use different colors, not for any purpose, but just as I move into the next chapter. And when I finish the Bible reading this year, my daughter will graduate next year. And my gift to my daughter will be this Bible that I've spent time in and prepared my heart in. And I've got another Bible that I'm echoing. And when my son graduates the following year, I'm going to give him that Bible. Not so that they go, oh, this is my dad's truths. I want my kids to see that I spent the time in the Word of God as their dad. Beyond being a preacher, I spent time in the Bible because I wanted to. I wanted to go closer to my Savior. James chapter 4, verse 1. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from your passions that wage war within you? I want to stop here because I want you to understand this passage. He is not talking about physical wars. What is he talking about? Inner spiritual wars. Let's read it again. What is the source of wars and fights among you? Don't they come from the passions that wage war within you? You desire and you don't have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and wage war. You don't have because you do not ask. And you ask and don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. Listen to what he says next. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? So whoever wants to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Or do you think it's without reason that the Scripture says the Spirit he made to dwell in us envies intensely, but he gives greater grace? That is, listen, if you want to mark a place in your Bible, that's a good one. He gives greater grace. Therefore, he says God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, remember, we've said before in Scripture, anytime there's a therefore, there was something before that. So because of what you just read, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Don't criticize one another, brothers and sisters. Anyone who defames or judges a fellow believer defames and judges the law. And if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. And there's one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? As we look at this passage, let's remind ourselves with the key statement today. You are at war. Your enemy has always declared war against you. Remember, Scripture tells us his actions. He chooses to steal from you. He wants to steal everything that God intends to give you and steal it away. And what he can't steal, what does he want to do next? Kill. He wants to kill anything in your life that brings joy or connection to God. And if he can't steal and he can't kill, he will destroy. You're at war. Amen. You're at war with an enemy that maybe today you haven't ever considered. We make quick enemies in life. We make quick enemies with people that don't hold our ideologies or our belief systems, and we make them enemies because people are easy enemies. We can see them. And so we can hate them. Our enemy conceals himself. It's no wonder that he is mentioned in reptilian form throughout Scripture. He is slimy and slithery. He fits into tiny spaces and he whispers sweet nothings in our ears. Don't forget how he talks to Eve. You know, in the garden when says the serpent's talking to Eve, he doesn't start with, "You should eat this fruit." He starts with, "Doesn't it look good? Did God really say that? What if," and this is my hypothesis, Eve, "God just doesn't want you to be like him? That's not fair. So if you ate that, wouldn't you have more closeness with God? You'd be like him in every way. Seems good, right? You see, we think all this time that Eve was just this backsliding woman. As though if we were in the garden that day, we would have said no. Except we've all said yes. We've all said yes to that voice that is against God's. And so, while we'd love to blame Adam for the sin of man, and the Bible clearly states it's Adam's sin that caused the downfall of man, we've all chosen that same path. We've all chosen destruction over blessing. We've all chosen our way over his way. And so in our lives, we think that we want God's blessing, but really what we want is ours. We want our blessing. And then there's times that God doesn't make sense. There's this beautiful song out right now that, man, every time I listen to it, I weep because I feel myself in this song. And it's, Corey Asbury has this song out right now called Kind. Amen. And in it, Corey writes that he doesn't understand why God takes some lives but saves others, or why children die, or things like that, and how many times he's raised his fist to God and you know, just said, I don't understand you. And he goes, all the while, all that God's been in return is kind. Amen. And he mentions the greatest kindness he ever did was on the cross. And every time I listen to that song, like I said, it just, it stuns my soul because, man, I forget about God too quick. Do y'all? Like, I sin still. And so there's these moments, these pockets of moments where I'm like, I didn't want to do that. Lord, how did I forget about you? What did I do that made me go, who cares? In this passage, as James is writing to the church, he's trying to tell them, there's warning lights ahead of you, and you can avoid the wreck that's coming if you would heed the warnings. You are at war. So don't disarm yourself, but prepare yourself. If war is coming, you need help. You got to call in the help. It's time to declare war back. You cannot be a child of God and a friend of the world at the same time. Amen. Any more today than you could be a friend of Hamas. You have to pick a side. And whichever side you pick will be your declaration of who you are. It'll come out in how you talk. It'll come out in your relationships. It'll come out in your bank account. It's going to come out in every possible way in your life. You just don't know it yet. But it's coming because you're at war. And James is telling the church, you should have already picked a side. If you're reading this letter, you have said you're a follower of God. But are you really? You're at war. So you have a side. I mean, this is the problem. How do we not lose this war that James in chapter 4 is talking about? How do we overcome this? How do we overcome? He gives us some words and some thoughts in here, and we're going to just spend a little bit of time walking through them, and it's four words: humility, submission, resistance, and nearness. And I just want you to keep those words up on the screen, if y'all will, upstairs. Those words are still there. I want you to listen to this passage again with these four words on the screen. Listen to what it says. He says, you're an adulterous people, in verse 4. Do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? So whoever wants to be a friend of the world becomes the enemy of God. Or do you not think it's without reason that Scripture says, the Spirit He made dwells in us, envies intensely. Which means in your and I's life, the Spirit of God that dwells in us is saying, why are you going to war without me? Why are you going to brokenness right now instead of truth? Why are you dwelling in death instead of life? He's not envious of our time or of our money or of popularity like Oprah says. He's envious for what we should be living like and missing out on because we choose the enemy instead of him. God doesn't need anything from you. So he doesn't need to envy your wealth or your power or your looks or your esteem. He's envious because he has a plan for your life. And when you miss it, he is broken by that. You and I were meant to live a whole lot better than this. And he knows it. He wrote the book. And when we miss it, it breaks God's heart for us. He's envious for the plans he has for us. Plans to prosper us and not harm us. Plans to give us a hope and a future. He is that. Amen. And when we miss it, he envies for it. God needs nothing from us. But even when we choose the wrong side, verse 6 says, but he gives greater grace. I got to tell y'all, every time I read it, I'm just so thankful for this passage. He gives greater grace, and I'm like, man, I'm sure there's some of y'all in this room that don't need as much grace as I do. But man, I feel like a graceaholic. Like I've gone to the grace well so often that God is like, how? I'm enough. Quit choosing the brokenness of this world. I'm enough. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Humble. Humility is our start. Therefore, submit to God. Remember, humility, submission. We humble ourselves and we submit to God, something starts to change. Here's what happens. We submit to God and resist the devil. You cannot and I cannot resist the devil if we have not humbled ourselves and submitted to God. Resistance is futile. We must humble ourselves. We must submit to God, and then we can go, I don't need you, devil. I never have, never will. You don't have a place at my table. Until then, you will hear his invitation, and it sounds good. It sounds right. It sounds prosperous. You know, I think too often we believe that God owes us. If we're going to follow him, he owes us some stuff. Because if we're his children, he owes us. Listen, if my children came to me today and said, Dad, I need $5, you owe me. I'd be like, rent this month is $300. You owe me, punk. Because I'm the dad. But if my kids said, Dad, I need lunch money, I would give it to them because I love them. Because I'm a loving father. And so is God to you. Amen. The reason you don't have is because of what Scripture says. And we'll get to that. First, we humble ourselves. Then we submit to God. And then we resist the devil. And what happens when you resist the devil? What does it say? Here's the problem. We believe this great lie. That if we're doing something right, the devil has to attack. We've said it, haven't we? We've all said that. Let's just agree we've all said it. Nowhere in Scripture. Nowhere. Nowhere. Find it. It does not say if you are doing God-sized things and following after him, the devil has to attack you. Never says it. In fact, this says when you resist the devil, he has to flee from you. Amen. Let's quit telling each other this great lie. Well, you know, if you're doing things right, the devil's got to attack. That's not true. In fact, here's what happens next. When you resist the devil, he flees from you. And then the next natural step is that you draw near to God. Amen. And what happens when you draw near to God? He draws near to you like a magnet. Man, I got to tell y'all something. This is the victory. This is the victory of your war. Your war is raging, and you may be losing today because it started with the fact that when God called you to do something, you were so out of the ability to be humble because we're so lost in sin that we've missed it completely. So let's start today with an admission, everybody in this room together, you and I together. Lord, we choose humility before a holy God that you are. What's more, God, is we want to make sure that you know from us that we willfully submit to your will. Amen. What's more is this, because of God's word, we can clearly state today, you slimy devil, get your hiney out of here. Amen. Not based upon my strength, not based upon my will, but because of what God says, you must flee. And now, God, we draw near to you, and we know you're already near us. Quit believing that the devil is stronger than God. He's not even his equal. God doesn't have to fight the devil. He can send an angel to do that, and he has. And they win, because no one beats God. Never has, never will. He is undefeated. At his best, the enemy thought that he could destroy God upon the cross. He just didn't know that was his greatest act. He was just setting the stage for his greatest work. And that's you. God loves you so much that he sent his one and only son. That anybody in this room that would ask for his forgiveness and changed by him would be saved. Because God didn't come into this world to condemn the world, John 3:17. But through him they might be saved. Amen. That's beautiful. That is powerful. That is magnificent. So when you and I seek this flow, this natural order of humility, submission, resistance, nearness, it echoes back to 2 Chronicles, doesn't it? If my people who bear my name, humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their evil ways. You see it? You see the flow? It's there again. James wrote about it. It's there in 2 Chronicles. If you will, my people who bear my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their evil ways. You see it? Humility, submission, resistance. Then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Submission is yielding power to a force greater than us. And I'm so thankful today we can yield authority to God. He has a plan. Ephesians 6 says this, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of darkness, against the evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand, stand, therefore, with truth like a belt around your waist, righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with the readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. God has a plan for victory in your life. Amen. You're at war, but he didn't leave you alone. He's going to give you all he's got. Amen. What's more is this nearness he talks about. Listen to it in this frame. Come, children, listen to me. I love this verse. And I'll teach you the fear of the Lord, who is someone who desires life, loving a long life to enjoy what is good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Turn away from evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The face of the Lord is set against those who do evil, to remove all memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and he rescues them from their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit. Proverbs 34. So, let's just end with some truth. The hardness of this moment as we deal with this war that rages for most professing Christians. They would rather do a few things than those four: humility, submission, resistance, and nearness. They want all the nearness without any humility. They want all of the blessing of God without submission. They want all of the life of peace and love and joy without resistance to the enemy. They want one foot in the world and one foot in faith. But most Christians, they would rather off-ramp their faith than submit to God. As though we have a choice. I said this last week. Do not be misled when it comes to God. Amen. There was a man that chose to resist God, and he ended up in the belly of a fish. He can still do that. One day you'll be driving past Meadey Park, and out will come a five-eyed catfish, because that's all that's in Meadey Park. And it will swallow you and send you to Bovina. But instead, you should submit to God. Amen. They would rather fit in than resist the world. Amen. Choosing to be popular rather than holy. Amen. Choosing to have a social media platform rather than a home in heaven. They would like to pursue people over Jesus. Amen. And maybe today that's how you feel your war is going. There's this sign that used to be at the traveling circus. And it was on this outside of this train car. And on this train car, one side was a wall. You couldn't see him. But on the other side was a cage. And you could peek into this. And inside of it was a bunch of bears. And there's this sign on the cage that had a statement: don't poke the bear. Anybody want to know why? Because bears like to poke back. And it happened a lot. People being maimed by bears that went to go see the circus coming to town. Because their curiosity got the best of them, and they decided that poking the bear seemed like fun, so much that they had to put up a sign that said, "Don't poke the bear." I don't know whose family said to little Tim, "You know what, Tim? You would be awesome. Go poke the bear and see what happens." And they're like, "Oh no, Tim, what happened?" And he's like, "I don't know, but I poked the bear and he high-fived my face." Too often in life, you and I will wait for the moment where we've poked the bear and we've experienced the effects. Amen. We'll live in just enough sin that when it wrecks us, we will ask God why. And I'm begging you today to quit poking the bear of sin and instead be humble before God, submit to Him, resist the enemy, and watch Him run. That's His action. Our enemy is not powerful. He's a coward. But He picks on those that choose not to resist. I don't have to make that up. I'm not saying this is what your pastor thinks. It's what James said to the church. And there is nothing in this Bible that wasn't inspired by the work of the Holy Spirit. So I can believe it, that when you and I humble ourselves, submit to God, and when we resist the enemy, He doesn't go, "Well, I'll try again." He's got to run away. And you and I can stay and wait. You and I can stay and wait until He runs back. Or we can draw near to God. And when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And you know what? Where the presence of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is no war in God's presence. Here's what's more. Darkness can't dwell where light is. Can't. Incompatible. And our God is the light. So I'm asking you today, if you're at war, if in your life and in your households you feel like the war is raging and it's overtaking you and it's killing your family and it's killing your joy and it's killing your walk, Humble yourself. Go before a holy God and say, I am broken and I need your help. I am wounded from this battle and I can do nothing but humble myself before you. What's next is I submit to the healing that can only come from you in my woundedness. What's more is this, enemy, run. Because my next step is not nearer to you. It's nearer to my God. And I may not be strong enough, and I may be wounded, but my dad is bigger. He is bigger than you. He is, he will fight your battle. And you may be locked into a war that you've prayed, God, would you help me? I don't know how I'm going to get through this, but know this, follow the steps and stay near to your God. And I can promise you this, he will stay near to you. Amen. And while the war may rage, stay near to God. Stay in submission. Stay in a humble state. Keep resisting the enemy. And hold on to God. I don't know what war you may be going through today, but I do know this. He has already won it. And he will win it. Follow the pattern of faith. Believe what the Bible says. And be a different kind of prayer. We just read the full armor of God has this piece to the puzzle. Pray at all times. And that prayer, we know from Scripture, says this. Those that pray not expecting God to do something shouldn't expect for him to do anything. You and I've got to start praying without giving God outs. Let's pray as though he's big enough. Let's pray as though he's strong enough. Because he is. You may be at war. But why don't you come lay that war at the feet of Jesus today and see what our God can do. I believe he can. And I believe he will win your war. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I pray for my friends in this room that are locked into spiritual wars. God, that in their lives they are prayed out. God, that they feel like nothing's happening. God, that the enemy's convinced them that they can handle it on their own. Lord, there is no battle that we win on our own. We need you. So, Lord, we humbly submit to you today. Lord, we choose today to define the lines of the war and declare to our enemy, you are not invited anymore. And, Lord, we turn only to you. We want you to be the only voice. We want you to be the only leader. And God, that includes us. We give up. We wave the white flag of us. And we turn to the cross of Christ. And we plead that we desperately need your forgiveness. That we desperately need your leadership. Over our houses, over our workplaces, over our schools, over our daily thoughts and walks and private moments. Lord, in every nook and cranny of our life, we need you. Amen. So, Lord, we don't just sweep our room clean of what the enemy has done. We ask that you fill it with your Spirit. Lord, that you would cleanse us and fill us and prepare us to stay near to you. Lord, thank you in advance for the wars you will win even in this moment because of the work of Jesus. We declare this in his name. Amen. Here in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to have some friends up here, and we're going to be up here just to greet and talk to you, but I want to invite you today. Some of you have carried your wars too long, and you don't need a pastor to talk to you. You need to come kneel at the front up here and you need to plead your heart out before a holy God. I want to be done with this war, God. And go through the steps. God, I humbly submit to you. Enemy, I tell you in this war, you must flee. And God, I ask for your nearness as I draw near to you. Some of y'all need to plead that today. You need to cry out to God today for that. And today, if maybe you're in that war and you feel prayed out, like that is not something you want to do anymore, come talk to one of us. Let us get on your behalf and pray. Let us pray alongside you as warriors together. We believe God will win your war, and it should start today. Would you stand with us as we worship? Let God win the war.
Hey, this is Pastor Kyle. I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'm praying that you see the love that Jesus has for you by paying the price for your sins. I pray that if you haven't already, you would take the time right now to talk to Jesus and ask Him to forgive your sins and lead your life from here on out. We would love to talk to you about Jesus and getting to know Him better. Contact us by emailing us at info@tcqc.org. tcqc.org. Or by finding us on social media. We would love to meet you. I hope you had a wonderful day, and as always, we would love for you to join us for worship really soon.